Confronting the Bully. National studies have found nearly 1 in 3 students report having been involved in bullying, either as a victim, as a bully, or both. Bullying isn't a new phenomenon, but it's getting a lot of national attention, driven in part by the emergence of cyberbullying and several high-profile cases that have resulted in the suicides of bullying victims. I'm Keith Shortall, and today on the program, we'll talk with Stan Davis, former social worker and guidance counselor, who writes and speaks about bullying prevention. He's the founder of the organization Stop Bullying Now. We're also joined by Kelly Hassan, principal of the Hall Elementary School in Portland, who says she's made progress in her school in addressing bullying. Also with us is Iris Sangiovanni, a student at South Portland High School who's contributed to a radio special on bullying for the Public Radio Exchange. Share your thoughts. Email talk@mpbn.net, tweet @MainCalling, or post a comment to the Main Calling Facebook page. Putting a stop to bullying. This is Main Calling. And you can join the program by giving us a call as well, 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. Stan Davis, let's start with you. As I just said in that intro, bullying is not a new phenomenon, but why are we then sort of having this conversation here today and doing a radio show about it?
Well, there have been a number of large studies of the problem, saying what we found in our study of 13,000-plus kids, Charisse Nixon and I at Penn State. 25% roughly of youth say they've been mistreated in some way by other students. Called names, stopped from having friends, threatened, hit. And of that 25% in our study, half of those students said they were moderately to very severely traumatized by it. Half said they were not. So that's important for two reasons. First, 12.5% of America's youth reporting trauma from something is a significant enough size of a problem that we should deal with it. The other thing is, though, that the data tells us two things. First of all, we can reduce bullying. I don't see us ever stopping it. We can reduce bullying behavior. But also, if half of young people who are mistreated are harmed and half are not, we can learn from the half who were not harmed what we can do to reduce harm. So really where we're going with this, more than as we go into the future, is not only to reduce bullying behavior, but also to reduce the harm it can do. Not one or the other.
We mentioned at the top about the emergence of cyberbullying as a mm-hmm. phenomenon and these other high-profile cases. Have those been drivers of attention to this problem, or did I invent that?
Well, in this current time, there are many more ways to be mean to someone than there used to be. And we also are at a time where mean behavior is being actively marketed to children through reality television. The content of most reality television is cruelty to gain an advantage. And I don't think we've ever seen that before, where children had mean behavior actively marketed to them. So for those reasons, yes, we should be more concerned about the problem now even than we had been.
And you would say, we were talking before we came on, and you would argue that we shouldn't look at this as a kind of a spectrum of behavior. Then there's a point where bullying starts. You see it as you don't see it that way.
Right. Well, at the beginning of this effort, we really put a lot of effort and a lot of focus on defining the difference between bullying and non-bullying aggression. And some of the criteria that were used were whether the person meant to do harm. Of course, we know there's no way of telling that. People don't even know their own motives for doing something. And certainly if we try to figure it out, we can't tell. Or whether there was a difference in social status. What we know, though, is that even actions that are not intended to cause harm can hurt us. A joke could hurt us. And an action done by our best friend who has absolutely level social status with us might hurt us even more than that same action done by someone who's thought of as a notorious bully. So I and a number of other people are moving away from the word bullying and toward the idea that there are some actions that are likely to cause harm, and we should discourage those actions, and then we should work to reduce the harm.
Kelly Hassan, we'll use the word bullying for the sake of our conversation here. You're a principal at Hall Elementary School, and we said at the outset that you had made some progress. Describe the situation at Hall at its worst.
I would say at its worst is when we have a pattern of behavior, perhaps by one or more students, that we want to address and make sure that the students are learning from it. But I think most importantly, and I think it gets to what Stan is saying, you know, we can never assume intent. So we really have put a process in place where we really investigate thoroughly, bring the student in to really hear the student's side of things and really drill down to find out what is the underlying cause of something. Because almost always there's a cause. And it might be, sometimes we can discover it and other times we can't. For example, it could be something as simple as, I pushed him down when I was coming in because he was mean to me on the bus this morning. And without really getting to the root of that, we can't assume the intent was just because somebody wanted to be mean that day.
And are we talking about, it can happen at any age. I mean, it probably happens in the workplace. But are we talking about a prevalence in, you know, 6th to 8th grade? Is that where you start to see?
Well, my school is a kindergarten through grade 5 school. And so we work hard. We have what's called our Peaceful Hall Action Team. And it's comprised of staff and parents. And we really set expectations that empower students to do the right thing and to try to really help them develop intrinsic desires and not be motivated by external rewards. Because in reality, in real life, if you're walking down the hall and you drop a bunch of books on the floor and someone stops and helps you pick them up, it shouldn't be because they want you to give them a reward for that. It should just be because it's the right thing to do. And that's what we really try to help students. So as far as like the age, it's kind of hard. It can vary, and it can vary developmentally on what the types of behaviors are that we need to guide students and help them learn from that.
Yeah, I think I had read in some literature 6th to 8th grade. That's why I brought it up. Iris Sangiovanni, you are in high school, so and you produced a segment for this radio piece called Psychology of a Bully. Tell me a little bit about your experience in school with bullying and how it brought you to sort of want to produce this element.
Being in elementary and middle school and now high school, I've seen a lot of bullying. As Stan was saying, sometimes, kids are not even aware that they're doing it. And I wanted to do this piece because I felt, there had been times when I was younger that I had, felt that I was a bully towards another individual. And, now I am, the total opposite of a bully today. And, I just wanted to really understand, how we can fluctuate between being a bully and then being, a really nice person. And so I did this piece on the psychology of a bully, and I talked to a professor of psychology, Cynthia Eardley, from the University of Maine in Orono. And there were a couple points that I found that were really interesting that she said. She talked about the lack of empathy that's taught. She gave the example of, when parents are scolding a child, because, they pushed another girl down, to say that you hurt the girl's feelings when you pushed her down, now you're going to have a punishment as opposed to, just go to your room. I think it's important to teach empathy.
I want to run a segment of audio from the piece, and I wonder if you could help us set it up. This is where you're talking about Alice?
Oh, yes, Alice. Alice is a senior at Casco Bay High School in Portland, and she is a reformed bully. It was really great to talk to her. It was actually really hard to find a bully because it takes, not a lot of people can identify themselves as a bully, and a lot of other people can't, share their experiences with it. So she'll be talking about her.
Okay, good. And this clip starts with you talking about just that.
My parents, friends, and teachers would be absolutely shocked to hear that I had been a bully at least once in my life, because I'm the polar opposite today. I felt this same feeling of surprise when I heard Alice, a senior from Casco Bay High School's story.
This was back in 5th grade. I used to bully this girl named Susan. I remember this one time that at the end of the recess, all the kids lined up to go inside. And what I did, I just went up to her and just pull her skirt down in front of the whole class. Back then, like, I wasn't even thinking. I was just having fun. That's all you think is, like, you're awesome and that's it. Like, you don't, like, think about how the other person's life is. It's pretty much you think about yourself and what's next to do to, like, be cooler.
Not only did she bully to gain peer status, Alice bullied for this reason as well.
We used to just have a group, and I used to be the leader. So I pretty much kicked this girl out of the group because she dressed different than we did.
Alice's justifications for her actions ran at a much deeper level.
Pretty much kind of like the way I was treated at home kind of like gets me so pissed off. I'm like so mad. Like there's no one else to take it on. So I just come to school and take it out on someone who's like, who I feel like is just like the outcast of a different group.
And so that's the segment from this show called Psychology of a Bully, and it's on PRX. It's available on Public Radio Exchange. Stan, we heard in the piece Alice is talking about she's kind of acting out on reacting to treatment she's getting at home. And I'm guessing this is kind of a conventional wisdom about what prompts some bullies, is that they're bullied themselves and are simply acting out on it. Is that common or?
Well, it's certainly a common assumption. It's not the only reason, though. The work at the University of New Hampshire, the Family Research Program, documents that kids who are abused at home are more likely to be aggressive toward peers at school. There's no question about that. But it's not everybody who's mean to other people comes from that kind of background. You talked about having been mean to others. And other kids are sometimes just thoughtlessly, sometimes they're imitating what they see on, oh, say, the Jersey Shore. Sometimes some kids have a hard time thinking before they act. So I would say there are those categories, people who are thoughtlessly having fun, imitating the behavior of models who they see in the world. People who are very angry because of something that's happened to them in their lives. So there's that immediate modeling, but also people who act without thinking. And then there's a very, very tiny group of youth, as there are adults, who truly wish to harm someone else. So it's important not to generalize and to feel that when we use – that's why I don't want to use the word bully. And you notice that the girl in the clip doesn't say, I was a bully. She says very properly, I bullied someone else, which is something any of us could do. In our large study, some kids defined it in a totally different way. They said, I realized that they were acting in an immature way. My friends helped me see that, and then I didn't feel so bad. And that's actually a wonderful way of putting it, because it gives hope that people can grow out of this immature, selfish way of acting.
So do you get at this problem by, I think you said at the top, we'll never completely eliminate bullying, but do you try to stop the bully? Or do you go at it from the sort of the person on the receiving end and sort of teach them how to respond and minimize the harm done to them?
Well, both. Both is good. I think it's a mistake to ask kids who are mistreated to stop the behavior of the person who's mistreating them. And we've done a lot of that. Tell them to stop. Pretend it doesn't bother you. In our study, we found 3/4 of kids had tried either to pretend it didn't bother them or to tell the other person to stop, or both. And yet it only worked 1 time in 5. And more often it made things worse. But there are those 2 things. One is to try to stop the behavior, and the other is to try to stop the harm. And if we think about highways, it becomes clear. We don't have to choose between reducing drinking and driving on the one hand and having airbags in cars on the other hand. Both is by far the best strategy. We should never have to choose.
And of course, we were always just taught if you stand up to a bully, they'll back down, and you're just challenging that.
Sometimes, if you stand up to another person, they punch you out. More kids in our large study of 13,000 kids said that things got worse after they told someone to stop than that things got better, and that was really startling. We thought it might be about even, but it actually was weighted on the negative side. So it's important to remember that. I think about it this way. I'm working on changing some of my eating behavior, and I'm finding it very difficult. So if I can't even change my own behavior, the idea that I could change a peer's behavior becomes sort of questionable.
Well, Iris. In my experience was talking to Professor of Psychology Cynthia Ardley, we talked about the importance of peers and how they can have, a huge influence.
as did, you know, Alice was influenced by her peers. But one of the things that she had mentioned was that by not saying anything to a bully, you're sort of like encouraging it, or you're giving your approval, you know, non-directly. And so by saying something to the bully, you're, you know, you're telling them that that's not okay.
What we found in addition to that, though, was for peers to give emotional support or belonging or encouragement or hope was more powerful than when they told the person who was bullying to stop. And so we've been looking at both those strategies. Mm-hmm. The strongest harm reduction strategy we found was when other kids sat with me, walked with me, encouraged me, gave me hope, listen to me. And that's very exciting because you don't have to have courage to do those things. You probably have to have courage to stand up to this notorious mean kid in the school and tell them to stop. You don't have to have any courage to call someone or text someone or sit with someone at lunch and say, I didn't like what they did to you. And the exciting thing is that that's the thing that made the most positive difference.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, your comments and questions, share your thoughts, email talk@mpbn.net, tweet @MaineCalling, post a comment to our Facebook page, or give us a call, 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
Hi, Sarah Willis here, host of In Tune by 10 here on MPBN Radio. The Super Thursday one-day membership campaign, which is coming right up, is a great example of everything coming together and being very much in tune. Everyone on the same wavelength, knowing that this station is different and special because of listener support, and everyone coming together in one great chorus on just one day, Super Thursday, to do the work that needs to be done in perfect harmony. Raise the support that's needed in just one day, Super Thursday. How cool is that? Hope you join us, and thank you.
Broadcast of Maine Calling is made possible by MPBN listener contributions and by 7th Generation, eco-friendly solutions from detergent to diapers. More at 7thgeneration.com. Caring today for 7 generations of tomorrows.
And welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Keith Shortall. Today we're talking about bullying. With me in the studio, Stan Davis, former social worker and guidance counselor who writes and speaks about bullying prevention through his organization, Stop Bullying Now. Kelly Hassan, principal, Hall Elementary School in Portland, and Iris Sangiovanni, a student at South Portland High School. Join the conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. Email talk@mpbn.net, tweet @MaineCalling, or post to our Facebook page. I do have a Facebook comment I wanted to share. This is from Kelly. People are speaking out, but I don't see this problem going away. Too many people talk the talk, but don't walk the walk. It's essentially all lip service. Everyone believes their child should never bully, so the problem is someone else's. I homeschool since I had had enough of the deceit and lies being told in our school system. When your child's best friends are the worst offenders, it really opens your eyes to the issue. I hope you would touch on cyberbullying, which is experienced once we stopped public schooling. Kelly, I'm going to ask you to respond to that. You have a frustrated parent speaking out there who was not satisfied with the school's response. Is it all on the school, or it seems like it must be a bigger responsibility than that?
I think it's something that one piece is to make sure that proactive approaches are in place from the start. So it's about first starting with building relationships, responding to parents and students immediately, and then really getting down to find out, as Stan says, we can't assume intent. As far as lip service, it really go to, you know, really get the specifics. And sometimes at a school, I think any of us can be approached by, it can be from students, from staff, from parents who may say, my child's being bullying, or I got this report today. And without the specifics, sometimes it's hard to get the information that we need. But I would say most of the time when we really can get down to that and find out what exactly is the behavior, where did it occur, and really find out that information, then we can really get to the root of things and really help with the resolution.
What I found is that some schools do this much better than others, and I asked for Kelly to be invited because I think Kelly's school has done this very well. I survey students and ask them, if you asked an adult for help about someone else's behavior, did things get better or worse? There was no change after you asked for help. And the range astonishes me. Some schools, 25% of students say things got better after I asked for help. Some schools say 75% of times things got better after I asked for help, and everything in between. So I think this is a place in which schools really need to actively monitor their own performance, mm-hmm. and to get that data and then work to improve it, because there are things we can do that will make our responses more effective, and there are things we can do that will make our responses less effective.
Are there cases where it's appropriate for parents to go directly to other parents and say, you know what?
It's a disaster.
So the school should be involved in that, you believe?
When there's an authority, and that's the problem with cyberbullying. When there's a relevant authority, it's almost always going to work better to go to that authority. In the town where I live, two parents got an altercation about one kid's behavior toward the other with a facilitator. After the meeting, on the way home, one parent tried to run the other off the road with their car. It's not the kind of thing that is likely to have a positive outcome. The difficulty about cyberbullying is this is the Wild West. And in many places on the net, there is absolutely no authority that can act. Facebook is an example. Facebook will sometimes act on complaints. YouTube will I've seen YouTube take things down that were defamatory. But when there is a positive authority to use, I think it's a good idea to use it.
And at what point does this behavior, while harmful, become a crime? In other words, is it the acts that are against the law of the bully, or is there any sort of thought about bullying a statute in Maine that sort of outlaws bullying itself?
I've probably looked at this the most. I don't know.
Yeah. I would think, much of it really depends on the school department's policies themselves, which are can be very, depending on the school district, can be very clear about, you know, everything from weapons to words that are used, dress, and others can be very vague. And that's when it gets tricky, is when there's ambiguity and you may need to call in legal counsel to really help resolve something that's in question that you're not sure. Is this a police matter? Is this a Department of Human Services matter? Is this a central office matter, or is this just a school-based matter?
Iris, where do kids turn? Do kids go to their teacher and say, hey, this person's bothering me? Do they tell their parents, or do they tell neither?
Through my experience, going to the teacher, it doesn't seem all that helpful. And a lot of the times, going to your peers isn't as well. I mean, it's just really hard to detect bullying, when you see it. And sometimes when you realize that, oh, that was bullying right there that I saw, it's too late to really approach the subject again. But as far as my school, I think, when bullying occurs, it goes to, the AP's office, and then sometimes they'll go off with just a warning, or if it's more serious, it'll go in like a 2-day suspension.
1-800-399-3566 to join the conversation. Let's go to Poland and Dwayne. Hi, Dwayne. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Yes, go ahead.
I just wanted to make a comment. I don't have everybody's names that you're talking with right there, but the gentleman that you're speaking with made a comment just a few moments ago about how it doesn't take any courage for a student to support another student who has been bullied, and I would have to disagree entirely. I think it takes just as much, and maybe Iris, you might be able to elaborate on this, I think it takes just as much, if not as much, courage to support a student who is being bullied as it does to stand up to a bully, because by doing that, you are opening yourself up to being bullied by either your peers or the person who initiated the bullying to begin with?
Well, I can explain. Stan Davis here. What we found in the study that I agree with what you're saying about overtly supporting. We also found in the study that acts of quiet support, like calling someone away from school or giving someone a note saying, I don't like what's being done, were seen as very helpful, too. So if people are concerned about that, then there may be a way to do the support quietly, and that's effective as well.
Quietly, I agree with you, but publicly supporting them, say, sitting together in the lunchroom or something, that takes a huge amount of courage.
Right. My point, what we found, we didn't know what we'd find. We found that both those things were helpful. So all I'm saying is there's a place for everyone in making things better.
Iris?
I think both acts are very, very courageous, but I feel like it's very hard as a peer to identify bullying because, you know, the victim will maybe, you know, brush it off, and, you know, it'll come off, you know, the bully might just make a sarcastic remark. You know, you can't really understand that, you know, what the victim is feeling, and, you know, it's difficult. But I would say that both acts, you know, approaching and stepping up to the bully are both pretty gutsy moves.
Dwayne, may I ask, what's your experience been with bullying?
I was bullied in, say, the grades between 6th and 8th grade, and I can never recall anybody supporting me or standing up beside me.
Mm. What did you do about it?
I never approached the bully and asked them to stop. I tried to ignore it and go on with my life.
I'm just curious, if someone asks you your advice, what do you tell them about how to deal with it?
My advice on how to deal with it would be try to ignore it as best you can. Seek help on how to deal with it, but until it becomes extreme, the chances, in my experience, are good that if you ignore it and pretend that it doesn't bother you, eventually the bully will get bored and leave you alone.
All right. Dwayne, thanks so much for calling. 1-800-399-3566 to join the conversation. Let's go to Belfast and Roberto. Hi, Roberto. Roberto, are you there? I think we've lost Roberto. Is there any follow-up?
Well, I just wanted to add the other things we found in the study and that I know from my work over the years helps not pretending it didn't bother me did work, especially for high school kids. Other things that worked were reminding myself that what's being done to me is not my fault but a choice that someone else is making. And this has to do with not letting other people define you. Someone else can call you ugly. Someone else can call you a geek. Someone else can call you names. And you don't have to believe what they're saying about you. You don't have to accept their statement of you. That's a lot easier if somebody's giving you some support. So there's a mixed responsibility there. I can remind myself that I'm a good person even though I'm hearing this stuff, but that's especially helpful if Iris is also telling me that she approves of me, even quietly. And that's where those two things, that's where the support and the internal process go together.
Is there a type of student that tends to get singled out as a target of bullying?
I really think it's a mistake to think that there is. Just for example, in some schools, high academically achieving students are seen as kind of a threat to everyone else and as weird geeks, and they're throwing off the curve and they'll spoil my chances to be valedictorian. And then in other high schools, high academically achieving kids are seen as bringing as much glory to the school as if they were star athletes. And I've known a lot of these kids. Their experience of that same kid in those two different schools is going to be dramatically different. Whoever is kind of honored and seen as belonging and important in a school will be treated better than groups that are considered to be more marginal. So really it has very much less to do with characteristics of the person than with who the school decides to include. And the best outcome, you were talking about being on a civil rights team, the main civil rights team's strongest outcome is to have everyone in a school valued. And then we see a reduction in mistreatment for everyone.
1-800-399-3566 to join the conversation. Let's go back to Roberto, who is trying one more time. Hi, Roberto.
Hello, am I on now?
Yes, you are. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, listen, I was bullied as a kid.
And this was back in the early Pleistocene period when the dinosaurs were rolling around. And I
remember you from that.
I remember those days.
I fought back, and it stopped. But I had 2 points to talk about, and one was partially brought up just now. It's true, I think, in general, that the victim, not to blame the victim in any way, but I think there are certain behaviors sometimes that are made worse by the fact that a kid is very, very depressed because of the bullying, because of the maltreatment. And sometimes bullying kids will tend to focus on those kids. It just gives them a reward. They think they're being successful in some sick way. But I did want to mention in that regard, along the same lines, these kids get very, very depressed. And I think it's important to remember that there is help, mental health help for these kids. And a lot of times they just don't get shunted into that way. And they end up sometimes with tragedies happening.
Right. Thank you for calling. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have more of your calls and comments. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Robert Siegel. Other stations across the country are raising money with 5, 7, even 10-day pledge drives. Well, MPBN is going to trust its listeners to accomplish this in one day. This new kind of pledge drive only works if you call or pledge online this Thursday during the MPBN Super Thursday one-day drive. Supporting your public radio station is the best way to ensure that we're here for you and your community now and in the future. So please help. Thank you.
Join us after Maine Calling today at 1 o'clock for America Abroad. Today's topic, Iran and the bomb. Iran continues to pursue the capability to produce a nuclear weapon. Can Iran's leaders be persuaded to abandon a nuclear weapons program? And what would a nuclear Iran mean for the rest of the world? Join us at 1 o'clock to learn more about that on America Abroad.
And welcome back. I'm Keith Shortall. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, what to do about bullying? With us today, Stan Davis, former social worker and guidance counselor who writes and speaks about bullying prevention through his organization, Stop Bullying Now. Kelly Hassan, principal of the Hall Elementary School in Portland, and Iris Sangiovanni, student at South Portland High School. She contributed a radio special on bullying for the Public Radio Exchange. Join the conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. Email talk@mpbn.net. Post to our Facebook page or tweet at Maine Calling. Let's go back to the phones now and work in a few calls, if we can, to Portland and Colin. Hi, Colin. Welcome to the program.
Hi, yeah.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just going to talk briefly. I was bullied pretty badly back in grade school. I lived in Michigan at the time. And it actually went all the way up to the teacher and then principal level of being segregated and picked on. But that's not what I wanted to talk about today. My other story is then on the other side of that argument, where I became a bully later in my school life. And that happened, I think, the best I could break it down to is basically a struggle for power. It felt good to be in control of something after a really bad experience at another school. I had no idea that I was bullying this kid, but the way I was stopped is he actually came up to me and kind of, in a cliche way, said, well, do you want my lunch money or can I give you something? And then not like to stop me, but just say, you want my lunch? And I was kind of stopped in my tracks, and it identified to me that I was actually being a bully. And up until that point, I just had no idea. It was just kind of like we talked about here, being thoughtless and just feeding into what felt good.
So no one had told you, hey, you're being a bit rough on the other person, or no one had ever suggested that you might be acting inappropriately?
No. In fact, it was a group of maybe 4 friends, and we all kind of roughed around quite a bit, just kind of tossed and tumbled in the schoolyard, and it was always fun and games. And I guess I just focused in too much on this one young guy, and he, again, eventually just approached me and said, do you want my lunch money? And, I mean, I think my point is that sometimes, we talk about how, like, confronting a bully can be a bad thing, but maybe not addressing it in the light of bullying and just in the stereotypes of bullying by saying, like, Is there anything I could do that would, you know, get you off my back? Or, you know, I don't know why it was so effective for me, but I think that it's true that a lot of bullies don't even realize that that's exactly what they're doing.
All right, Colin.
That, in fact, stopped me dead in my tracks.
Yeah. All right, great. Thanks for calling. Any comments? All right.
Well, asking someone to stop might help. There's certainly nothing wrong if it feels safe to saying, I'd appreciate it if you'd cut this out. And then they have the choice of whether to listen or not. He made the choice to listen. It's just I wouldn't keep doing it over and over and over if you say it and the person doesn't listen.
And he was saying, I think, that he didn't realize that what he was doing was bullying until the person pointed it out. Let's go to Shapley and Rita. Hi, Rita. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
My daughter was bullied in the third grade, and we had multiple conversations with the principal, who just seemed to brush it off. And eventually my daughter got so sick of the bullying, and the little girl who was doing the bullying didn't seem to care either. And my daughter got sick of it, and she pushed her. Now my daughter has a permanent record. And even after the multiple times that we went to talk about this, it seemed to get brushed under the carpet. And I was just wondering if a lot of these littler bullies are learning it from home, and if they are learning it from home, is there anything that maybe we could do about that to start the process of learning about bullying before they go to school, that it's not a good thing?
Or how can you change the culture of a school? What can parents do to try to do that?
Rita, that's a really compelling story. And one thing with as has been mentioned earlier, it's hard to assume, are they learning it from home? And many times they are following behaviors that they're growing up with, whether it's in their home or their neighborhood or someone has picked on them. But what I think is important is to be addressing something immediately and looking closely at what are the interventions that can be put into place in helping children to develop strong relationships. One thing we don't do at school is we don't force someone to be a best friend with someone. But what we do say is you do need to be kind to someone. They don't need to be your best friend. You don't have to play with them. But when we look directly at what kind of behavior is happening to a student, and really going down and finding out and bringing parents into it, not to meet with each other, as Stan had pointed out, but we really partner with parents and guardians. And for some children, they may have a home life where a grandparent is the primary caretaker. But we bring in all the people that really can help with the support system to really get to the underlying behavior and to really help turn it around. Because the sooner we can turn it around, the younger they are, then the more successful they're going to be. And the bully is, and I don't like to use the term either, but I'm going to use it for the sake of the program that we're on today. They're going to be much happier too and feel much better about themselves. And that's been our experience.
1-800-399-3566 to join the conversation, to Bucksport and David. Hi, David.
Good afternoon. Thanks so much for taking my call. I would like to hear if there's some discussion that can be had around the whole issue of sexual orientation diversity and gender identity diversity, which I know from studying this issue for many years, those kids are the ones who are often targeted and unfortunately end up to be often depressed and suicidal at a much higher rate than other students who might not be either identifying as lesbian or gay or of a different gender assignment. And we're in a culture that's starting to look at these issues pretty young. And when you've got grade school kids who use the word gay as a derogatory comment, that's bullying right there, because lesbian and gay youth are traveling through their daily lives trying to affirm their own identities and grow into the healthy adults we hope they will become. And when you hear the word gay used as a derogatory comment on a regular basis by your peers and even people older than you, that's very difficult to hear. Could we have a discussion a little bit right now with all of you professionals to clarify for the rest of us listening that that's an issue that needs to be addressed around the whole bullying issue? Thank
sure.
You.
Stan.
Thank you, David. It's absolutely important. Gay and lesbian youth, questioning youth, transgender youth, and even youth who don't fit somebody's stereotype of what a boy, of what a male or a female should be, are clearly more mistreated overall and more harmed. I just want to point out two things that give us hope. There's a study in Oregon that found that in schools that had gay-straight alliances, where people are building alliances across the gay-straight divide and where people are getting support, in those schools there was a lower suicide rate among gay and lesbian teens. But also in those schools, those same schools, there was a lower suicide rate among straight teens. So building those kinds of bridges is absolutely important. And the other thing is, in both national and Maine studies, more that I've done, more than 70% of kids say they hear "that's so gay" or "that's so retarded," the kind of derogatory language used indirectly weekly or more, 70%. The good news is that 80% or more of kids say they want adults to stop that language. So young people clearly do know that those ways of talking are harmful, and they need us as adults to step up and follow through on that. Kids say routinely, "This teacher won't allow that kind of language, and that's why I respect him or her." And it's something we need to know, that kids don't take this as nothing, that it's not just the way kids talk. But that's how bias is learned. Bias is learned when people hear over and over something bad linked to a characteristic. So even though it's not face-to-face direct, it's extraordinarily harmful and very common, and absolutely it's got to stop.
All right. We've only got a couple of minutes left. I want to take one more call. And did you want to respond,
Kelly? I was just going to add to that, David. Even at a very young age, I mean, even it could even go to the preschool level, but I think there's a lot of good work being done right now around really looking at toys as being unisex toys. I mean, there's a big movement out there now to get rid of pink Legos. There's a lot of messages being sent to children at a very young age. This is the color you wear. These are the toys that you play with. And I think we've come a long way, but we need to come a lot further. And it can start with just from looking at some of the stereotypes that are just built into society in general.
One last call to Old Orchard Beach and Simony. Simony, did I pronounce that properly?
Yes, you did.
Go ahead real quickly. We don't have much time left. So.
Yeah. First, I just want to put out there, I really appreciate the subject matter that you guys have brought up, because this is like really front and center, obviously. But my question specifically is about supports. I've heard a lot of good things that even I hadn't, you know, considered. But one of the things that I'm concerned about is, how is a school to implement something within their school to support these children? What does that look like specifically? I've heard the word support a lot, but I'd like to know what that looks like. Does that look like a support group that's created after school? Is it something where the parents are brought in and, you know, people kind of rally together to say, okay, what can we do about this? But, you know, with all the school budget cuts, that's even a nasty beast in itself right there.
What kind of structure are we talking about here in the last minute?
The structures, Simony, that really don't have to be, they can be very cost effective. If you can have someone great like Stan come in, he's actually a pretty good bargain, and we've done a lot of good work with him. but you can have structures of support right from the class, and it should be school-wide, so not just being reactive but being proactive, K through 5, K through 12. Things like alternative recess, relationship building, lots of things that can be done.
Is there a quick website, Stan, for help?
StopBullyingNow.com is mine, but there are others too. Yeah.
All right, go to our website, mpbn.net, Maine Calling. There's lots more information we've posted for you there.
Be sure to check out prx.org, and you can find the Bullying Stories Project.
All right, thanks so much. Kelly Hassan, principal, Hall Elementary School. Iris Sangiovanni, student at South Portland High School. Check out her audio doc on this subject. And Stan Davis of Stop Bullying Now. Thanks for being here today. Today's program was produced by volunteer Cindy Hahn, Jonathan Smith, volunteer Scott McAuliffe answered your calls. John Keimel ran the board, and we had help from the MPBN web team. I'm Keith Shortall. You've been listening to Maine Calling on the Maine Public Broadcasting Network.